From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Now let's join our host, Jim Williams, on ABQ Connect.
Hope everybody had a nice Father's Day weekend. John Jones, my friend, LifeQuest USA is in studio. John, welcome.
Thanks. Always good to be here, Jim.
Well, I'm so excited to hear about continuing story. We started to visit a little bit the air, but we got to tell our listeners what's going on. First, tell us a little bit about LifeQuest USA and your ministry.
Sure. LifeQuest is a ministry that is dedicated to serving incarcerated and at-risk youth and has been in existence over 20 years. For the first 18, 19 of those, it was basically youth in the juvenile detention facilities. Now, we would not just work with them in the facility. We go in, we do Bible study, we do character development classes, we do GED tutoring, we do a lot of different programming. We've done college and career fairs there. We've done, we're getting ready again to do Ready for Life. But everything we do is in hopes of building a one-on-one relationship between a young man or young woman and one of our staff or volunteers, because we want to follow them out of the facility. That's what kind of sets us apart.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I interview a volunteer and they say, are you looking for a one-year commitment, a two-year commitment? I said, I hope it becomes a lifetime commitment in a relationship with this young man or young woman, because relationships change lives. Programs don't, but relationships do. So,
And you had a relationship that helped change your life.
Oh, absolutely. You know, coming out of a 10-year cocaine addiction, having a man come alongside of me that I always say he loved me enough to hurt my feelings, said things to me like, so John, your best thinking got you here. How's that working for you? So this man, just a quick story. I just shared this with somebody the other day. I'd been clean about 6 months and I was having coffee with this gentleman. And I said, Barry, what do you want from me? And he said, what do you mean? I said, look, you give up time with your wife and kids to be with me like tonight. You take my calls at all hours of day or night. You left work to come to court with me. You gave up money to help me. I said, nobody does something for nothing. What do you want from me? And he said, he kind of smiled and he said, there is something I want from you, John. And I thought, I knew it. Here it comes. He said, I want you to do this for somebody else someday. I want you to freely give away what you've been freely given. Mm. And I just kind of choked up, but I've never forgotten those words, Jim.
Yes. Matthew 18:12 said, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Rhetorical question. So here's my question for you, John. Why does a shepherd leave his 99 sheep to go find the one that is lost?
I think that's pretty simple. If you don't value every single one of those sheep, you shouldn't be shepherding. And the fact is, the 99, if they're there and safe and protected, they don't need you right now. But that one, the one that's lost, the one that's broken, the one that's hurting, they need the care. They need the attention. Doesn't it say something like the well have no need of a physician?
Mm.
So I believe that's exactly, it's not that we don't minister to everyone. It's not that we don't talk to everybody, because let's be honest, Jim, all of us need ministered to. Correct?
Amen.
So on our best day, on our worst day, on our in-between days, we all need somebody that loves us, that's there for us, that's walking with us. And you know what's crazy? And you'd think when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? His response was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second closely following the first, love your neighbors yourself. And then he says all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in these two commandments. Jesus basically summed up the entire Old Testament in two lines. Love God, love others. Don't you think at some point we'd figure out this is about relationship? It's not about events. It's not about, it's about relationship. It's about walking with people. It's about being there for them and with them, just like somebody has been there for and with us.
So as our listeners are listening to you talk about this ministry, LifeQuest USA, they need to consider how God might use them in one of these relationships.
Absolutely.
To come and help you.
And I hear this all the time. Oh, I can't do that. I'm not prepared to do that. I'm not ready. I'd agree 100%. But that's the beauty of how God works. All you have to do is be willing, and God will provide the rest. We'll provide you with training. We'll walk beside them as they're walking beside the young person. Mm. And they're right. They're not ready. Just like I wasn't ready when God called me to this ministry, and I'm falling on my face every morning going, God, what do you want me to do? I don't have a clue. But I think that's when you're best prepared, when you realize, wow, I don't have all the answers. I don't know. I need to seek God to find out how I can best serve this young person.
You mentioned earlier that one of your programs is Ready for Life, and that's going to start next week?
It actually starts this Friday.
Tell us about that.
Sure. We bring in Dr. Scott Larson from Straight Ahead Ministries in Boston. Scott's been doing this for, I think, like 40 years now, working with young men and women. Has written a number of books. Highly recommend, if you want to know about working with hurting people, his book, Groundwork. It's just amazing. But Scott comes into town. We do a three-day seminar in the juvenile facilities. We'll run about 7 hours a day. We'll do it at YDDC on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Then we'll hop in the cars on Monday and drive down to Las Cruces and do John Paul Taylor Center, another juvenile facility there, on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But we've seen young men's lives change as a result of this program. Also, I'm very excited. This will be the first year that they've allowed us to include the girls in this program. There's only one girls unit at YDDC. There's about seven girls there. But we're very excited they're going to get to be a part of this also. So
I want to go back to that shepherd conversation we had earlier, and I'm thinking about the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Are some of these kids, they haven't ever had a shepherd? They haven't ever felt valued. How do you change that perception and let them know that God does value them?
Well, I'd argue we've all been shepherded, just in what direction?
Mm-hmm.
It's something I was having a conversation with a young lady who's, oh my goodness, she's got leader written all over. She's very charismatic, very outspoken. She's also come from a very rough background. And I said, you know what? I said, you're going to be a leader. The only question is, what are you going to lead people to? Mm. You're going to lead them to the left or to the right. You're going to lead them to life or to death. That's your choice. Mm. You have to make that choice. So, but in the terms that Jesus talks about shepherding, I think the hardest thing, you remember the scripture where Jesus says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have stoned and killed the prophets, how many times would I have gathered you to me as a mother hen gathers her chicks? What an intimate picture that is about. But the problem is you can't shepherd a sheep who won't be shepherded.
Yeah.
You can't help someone who's not willing to be helped. Here's what's crazy. When I got into recovery, you'd think after a 10-year cocaine addiction and jail and suicide attempt that I was teachable. But I wasn't.
No.
My mentor actually had to take me further down and point out some realities that I couldn't see. And before I became teachable, before I said, okay, I give up, whatever you say.
So this mentoring thing's not always warm, fuzzy feelings.
Well, if it's always warm, fuzzy feelings, I'd suggest you better get a new mentor. I have used the term that there are people who will literally love you to death because they will not address what they see. They will not be that mirror to reflect back to you. You know, they're, oh, poor baby. Oh, you're the victim. Oh, that's too bad. And you know what? The reality, Jim, is we're all victims. The moment we're born in this earth, David says, in sin I was conceived. not a very popular part of our theology, but the reality is we are born into sin. Baby's first words, what are they usually? After mama, dada. No.
No.
And mine.
And mine.
Watch two little kids try to play with the same toy. If you don't think we're born into sin, just watch that. So, look, we're all victims. The issue is, am I going to continue to live my life as a victim?
I'm just thinking of a story. I have to give our listeners
Please.
This illustration. So, young man, son of one of my best friends, we played basketball together at the university. His son, Kevin, was probably a year, maybe 16 months old, and talking very well. And so I wear a size 16. That's a big foot. So I took one of his shoes and I put it, it wouldn't even fit on my big toe. So I just put it on my big toe. And I'll never forget, he came over and grabbed that shoe off of my toe and said, "My shoes." And I just thought of that when you told
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. My shoes. Helping people see their need, their desperate need for God. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about non-believers. I think we as believers, I think there's a tendency sometimes to go, oh, I've accepted Christ. I've accepted what he did on the cross for me, and everything's great now. Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty good person. Mm-hmm. Well, I think the day I'm most in danger is the day I wake up and don't believe I need God today.
Why are Christians needing to be instructed to love one another and love others?
Well, I guess because that's not natural and normal for us. Again, I think this is huge. Let's define the word love. What does that mean? Oh, I have warm feelings towards you. Oh, you make me feel good about me. That's how we define love. Yet Jesus says, no greater love is a man than this, that he lay down his life for a friend. Now, we always point to the theological aspect of Jesus giving up his life for us on the cross, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm not called to die for you, Jim. I'm called to live for you. I'm called to serve you. I'm called to be your friend, to walk beside you.
And by the way, that might be as difficult, if not more, than dying for someone.
I agree 100%. I don't get me wrong. I don't want to minimize people who truly lay down their physical life, because last time I saw, we've had more martyrs for the faith in the last 100 years than in the previous 1900 combined. So there are people around the world literally dying for their faith, but living for it on a daily basis, pouring yourself out for the sake of others, trying to serve others in a world that tells us serve yourself. You've got to take care of yourself. If you don't, nobody else will.
Jesus said in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.
Absolutely.
But very oftentimes Christians don't love one another. I bring it up all the time on this radio station. Since I started doing this now 3 years ago, I wanted the Christian community to come together, use this station as a tool to let people know about what they're doing, what their ministries are, and we've made quite a bit of headway. But there's still those churches that don't play well together. And I never could understand that. I've never been able to grasp. Now, I did see some breakthroughs. Like during COVID, we had a bunch of churches feeding people together.
Absolutely.
That was so amazing. And what was really neat is to see the worker bees, the volunteers that were out from each of these different churches hanging out and fellowshipping as they were working. It was a blast. But then as soon as the urgency is gone, we stop doing that.
Well, you know the only problem with church, don't you, Jim?
No.
It's got people in it. I mean, that's the reality. That's we're a bunch of broken, messed up people coming together trying to do this thing. quick story. So I had I kept being pointed to God by my mentor, and one day out of desperation, I grabbed a Bible I was given when I was 12 years old, was in perfect condition, had never been read, and just sat down at my kitchen table going, God, somebody last week called this your word, and if it's your word, would you talk to me? I don't want to get smart. I don't want to get religious. I don't want to get theological, but I desperately need to hear from you, and I'm dying. If this is your word, please talk to me. And I open it up, and the first thing I read says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I lost it. I broke down, sobbed, because I was sure for the first time in my life I had just heard from God. Well, that's where I met God, sitting at my kitchen table for 18 months. I got up, prayed that same prayer. I'd put my kids on the school bus and sat down, prayed that same prayer. Would spend 2 to 3 hours every morning just going, God, talk to me. Just talk to me. And my life changed. I mean, beyond explanation, it was a supernatural event. Because it wasn't like I read this and went, ooh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to practice this. It just happened. So anyway, I was clean about 2 years, and my wife said, John, I want to go to church. And I'm like, well, I like what's going on in my life. I don't want to go to church. And she said, well, I really think it's important. So I called my mentor, and I said, my wife wants to go to church. What should I do? And he said, you've been selfish long enough. Go to church. And I'm like, I don't want to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. And he said, yeah, and when you walk through the door, there'll be one more. We started attending church and stayed at the church we went to for the next 7 years. But I think it's the issue of why am I going to church? The rest of that story was we went out and visited for a month, visited a different church every month. And after that month, I called and said, Barry, I just can't find a church that's got what I need. I won't give you his exact quote, but he basically said, man, your eyes looking to see what you can suck out of something instead of what you can take to it. Why don't you walk in and see where you can serve? Where can you be of use? Next church we walked into, we stayed 7 years. Nice. So I think that's the problem. Why am I going to church? Is it to get? Well, of course. Though if I hear one more person say, oh, I'm going to leave this church, I'm not being fed. And I'm like, what are you, an infant? Feed yourself. Yeah. Why don't you go and serve? Why don't you go and help others? Why don't you go and see where you can be of use? What would it look like if that's the attitude everybody walked into church with, Jim?
John Jones, LifeQuest USA, in studio with us. We're going to talk about his question and more when we come back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. The home was established to care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and more will make that happen. Call 898-5520. That's 898-5520. Or connect online at acchkids.org.
Celebrate freedom at the Calvary Church annual community-wide event on July 1st. The Kids Zone opens at 5, the stage starts at 7:30, and the fireworks kick off at 9. Bring the whole family and lawn chairs to enjoy a night of worship, a message by Skip Heitzig, and a fantastic fireworks show, all free from Calvary Church. Freedom Celebration on the Calvary Osuna campus, Friday, July 1st. Freedom Celebration, produced and presented by Calvary Church Albuquerque.
It's a good thing to know who your enemies are, like who's out to make a fool of you, or trip you up, or slander you. Hi, I'm Johnny, and your number one enemy is Satan. He's not your friend, and he cannot be trusted, and he does not have your best interests at heart. He's out to deceive, accuse, and devour your soul. He may sound like he's offering you pleasure and satisfaction and even justice, but don't believe it. Don't even go there. And remember, your number one tactic against this enemy? Resist him, says the Bible. Dig deep, dig in, and just say no when he tempts you. Never once when you listened to Satan did it do you any good. It only corroded your character and shriveled your heart. So, friend, safeguard your soul. Run to Jesus. for only his victory over Satan can ever keep you safe.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There is still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage. 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700. Or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
If you are listening to ABQ Connect on KLYT today via the transmitter on Top of the Crest, we do need to let you know that we are unfortunately experiencing a low power event. Our engineers are working diligently to restore full power to our transmitter. If you're having difficulty, like if you're in Santa Fe or maybe you're a little bit south of Albuquerque and it's kind of spotty, go to klyt.fm and you can stream the show live. There's a little about a 6-second delay or so. That varies a little bit, but we always appreciate your prayers, and so thank you so much for listening to us today. We're with John Jones, the president and CEO of LifeQuest. John will always call us all out. I should start calling you Coach Jones.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to.
No. I mean, so to me, I think it's a challenge. I mean, there's so many people that I don't know how they're affected. I mean, they're somehow discouraged. They don't realize how valuable they are.
Oh, I agree, John, with that 100%.
And I want people to understand that they're incredibly valuable. Oh. And even the people that have been involved in, you name the sin. And I want them to know they're not different than guys on the radio. They're not different than pastors.
Amen.
We are all sinners. And God wants to work through your life to help other people.
I would say have been involved or are involved. God is not surprised at who we are. When I hear Jesus say, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Well, yes. That sounds a little harsh. But all it means is, that's who we are. He gets that. And yes, through Christ, we're regenerated. We receive the Holy Spirit. Our life starts to change. But the flesh doesn't go away. It's still there. It still is. And it's funny. I was kind of like, the flesh. I always thought that was because, especially as men, you know, well, flesh, that must mean lust. Well, yeah, but for lust of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And here's what I kind of came to the conclusion of, we were created, mankind was created, to worship, serve, and walk with God. My flesh cries out, no, I don't want to worship and serve God. I want to be worshiped and served. And so, and I think everyone has that battle every day, and guess what? We all fall a little short each day. In my best moments, I'm so glad there's not like a projector on my ear that puts my thoughts on the wall, because, you know, I probably kill 2 or 3 people a day in my head. Yeah. So, no. A human's as good as we're going to get. That's it.
But you are in Christ going to learn how to overcome your flesh.
Amen.
And you're going to learn how to consider others more important than yourself, which is love.
Yeah, that is absolutely love. It was fascinating. During the pandemic, I'll bet I had 30 people in my office, door closed, and every single one of them, though the situation may vary, the symptoms may vary, the underlying cause was pretty much the same. And at the end, I would say to each of them, I hear two things. I hear fear, and I hear lack of peace. I said, here's all I know. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And peace is a fruit of the Spirit. I can't give it to you. You can't manufacture it. Only God can do that. But I have the absolute cure to your fear and your lack of peace. Okay? Spend more time with God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine. You're the branches. And we get confused sometimes. I think sometimes, Jim, we forget that we're not the vine. And if I want peace, if I want love, if I want joy, I need to be connected to the vine to see that happen. And for me, that means seeking God, spending time with God. And it's hilarious, the conversation, because this is what I always say. How much time are you spending with God in the morning? Well, I do my prayers, I do my devotions, maybe 5-10 minutes. I said, well, whatever you're doing is not working, obviously. Kick it up to 30. And then in a month, if 30 is not working, kick it up to an hour. Hmm. An hour? I can't give up. I said, an hour a day seeking and spending time with God is less than 5% of your day.
But people ask you that question because they think there's some labor involved with reading the Word, and that's not been my experience at all. You shared after taking your kids to school in our first segment that you read Scripture and it changed your life. That's been my experience. It's enlightening. It lightens the load. It's not burdensome.
I first started doing it because I was desperate. I was dying. And worse yet, I was continuing to live in my skin and my life. But what became desperation and I have to do this became something I so look forward to doing. It was like the hardest thing about my ministry is finding the time to spend with the one that loves me the most, the one that is going to provide me with everything I need, but just to spend some time letting myself be loved. I think one thing, it's funny, the one thing that has changed for me over the years as I've sought God in His Word has been the tone. Amazing how much God sounded like my father when I first started reading. Come to me started off as come to me, as opposed to today it's pleading, almost begging, come to me. Let me help you. Let me love you. Let me serve you. And you know, the more you try to serve others, especially as you work with broken people, you start to understand that plea, Jim. Mm. Let me help you. Let me serve you. Let me love you. But that's the hardest thing. We live in a world where people have been so wounded and so hurt that they harden their hearts because they think they're not going to get hurt that way. They keep everybody at arm's length. But you keep the good stuff out, too. You keep love out. You keep relationship out. And, you know, I have literally begged people, please, stop it. Give it a chance.
Yeah, love, live life. Let God do His thing.
Absolutely.
John, you have some fun in the ministry, too.
We have
and
a ball.
you just had your annual golf tournament.
We raised
a little bit of money. And before I let you tell us about the results of that, and in our next segment, we're going to talk about the 413 journey.
Yes.
So don't talk too much about that right now.
Okay.
We'll do it in our next segment. But as you were talking about, I don't know how you said it, I don't give the time to the one that loves me the most.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't help but think about a golf analogy. All the people that I know, and I'm not a good golfer, so I hang out with people that don't golf well. But the funny thing is I don't get mad when I play golf. It's because I don't know how to play golf,
right,
and I never practice.
Right.
So the funny thing to me is that people that like to play golf, they never practice, but they get so mad because they can't hit this little white ball.
Right, right.
Well, I think Christians do the same thing. They don't spend any time reading.
Mm-hmm.
They get frustrated because a situation will occur. They don't know what to do. They don't spend literally 15 minutes reading the Word and they could find out. Now, they might talk to you. They might talk to a mentor. And, John, so here's my question. As you've mentored kids, I mean, you're taking young people from they don't know God to where they meet God. Do they come to a point where they're in a relationship with God because of your mentoring and your example?
Oh, absolutely. That's why, we'll talk more about it later, mm-hmm. but that's why we call the 413 journey what we call it, because it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I tell kids I work with is, look, we're both on the same journey. The only difference is I'm down the path a little further. I've been walking this further than you have. But the journey is the same. And here's, you know, you use the golf analogy, and that's good. Here's where I think we miss it. We've John 1:12, depending on which version you're reading. I prefer this one. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. It's almost like we've lost the belief in God's supernatural empowering of us. Mm-hmm. I always equate it to, I've asked a number of kids this. So if you forgot to charge your cell phone last night and you woke up this morning at about noon, your phone died, would you be mad at your phone?
No.
Well, no, that's my fault. I didn't. I believe it works exactly the same way with God. If I don't charge up, if I don't spend the time with God, I'm not empowered, gave power to become children of God. I'm probably going to be less likely to overcome my flesh. I'm probably going to be less likely to experience the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the first fruit of the Spirit listed? Love.
Mm-hmm.
See, in my flesh, I can't love anyone. In the Spirit, I definitely can love.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not me. That's God in me. That's God working through me.
You'll like this analogy. Had a young man that's in the process of getting divorced.
Mm-hmm.
He's at a stage where he absolutely hates his wife. And he sat down with me and told me she is his enemy. And he wants nothing to do with her, and that's his attitude. And I said, I'm so glad that you told me exactly how you feel. What does God say about how we should treat our enemies? He goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, Jesus himself said in Matthew 43, you have heard the law that says love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So I said, now I think if you're a Christian, what your job now is to go love her because she's your enemy.
Absolutely. And it's, but again, God, if God tells us to do something or he tells us not to do something, and this is where I think we miss it. He tells us because he loves us. It's what's best for us.
Mm.
And it's what's best for others. So if we come to understand that, isn't that really where the rubber meets the road? I mean, let's face it. If I'm not stealing because I'm afraid of getting caught and going to jail, or if I'm not doing something because I'm afraid of the consequences, do I really get two thumbs up for that? I think the rubber meets the road where we do those things that are so, so against my flesh. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy. Go an extra mile. That's crazy. But here's the other truth. I can't possibly do that in my flesh. It's impossible. So what does it do? It challenges me once again to fall on my knees and say, God, I need you. I can't do this.
Mm.
So I think that's the beauty of Scripture, because I don't know what it does for you. I always feel like God holds a mirror up. It's like all of these snapshots and short video clips of Jesus' encounter with people. I never get to be Jesus. I'm always the other guy.
I need to remember that comment for some of the guys at the gym that are always looking at themselves in the mirror.
There you go.
You got to treat the Bible the same way you're treating that mirror.
Be careful what you look for.
I love it. John Jones is the president and CEO of LifeQuest. Their mission statement is mentoring a future and a hope, providing critical support services to help New Mexico youth overcome their past challenges and build resilience for the future. Their goal is to build relationships between the community and youth and to go well beyond what those relationships are in schools and detention centers. We'll be back with John Jones. I hope you'll stay with us. Amazing things, and we're going to talk about a real fun thing, which is called the 413 Journey. We'll be right back.
Joy in the midst of hardship is a hallmark of the Christian life. But is it really possible? Here's Lanya Heitzig.
Sometimes what starts out as a happy trail turns into a really daunting road, and we have to figure out how to navigate. A lot of times, God's purpose in allowing trials is to give us opportunities to grow. to the point where we genuinely experience joy in the midst of trials.
Learn how to face trials with courage, wisdom, and yes, joy, with Lenya's booklet, Happy Trials. And when you give $20 or more today to help keep this Bible teaching ministry on the air, we'll send you a special bundle of three booklets by Lenya. Happy Trials, Don't Tempt Me, and Speak No Evil. Get your bundle of three booklets for a gift of $20 or more by calling 800-922-1888 or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. That's connectwithskip.com/offer.
Lean in for this hotspot from Skip Heitzig.
Did you know that our word worry, the English word worry, comes from the German word? It's based on the word wurgen. And the word wurgen means to choke or to strain. Remember what Jesus spoke about? He said the seed of truth gets choked by the worries of this world. It's a very descriptive term. Choked, strained by the worries of this world.
Hotspot. Here we go. A final word from Skip in this hotspot.
Somebody said, blessed is the one who is too busy to worry in the daytime and too sleepy to worry at night. Work hard during the day and turn it off in the evening.
Find books, DVDs, and thousands of messages by Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Connectwithskip.com. Hotspot!
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
We are back with John Jones. He is the president and CEO of LifeQuest. John, all the ministry you're doing is obviously an expensive thing. You've got a few staff people. You're taking neat trips like to the Grand Canyon with the 413 journey. How is your organization funded?
We are so blessed. We've got a few supporting churches, but the majority of our funding comes through individuals and local businesses, people who believe in what we're doing. So we just try to get out and tell our story to anybody that'll listen. And God has been so, so kind with regards to providing for our needs.
LifeQuestUSA.org is the website if you want to find out more about the ministry. Let's talk about the 413 journey in that program.
Let's do. I love talking about 413. And the new program we've started called LifeQuest 414, the continuing journey, which is for kids who've been through the 413 journey.
Gotcha.
So the 413 journey is an adventure-based program. It's 12 weeks of classroom settings using just biblical principles, life principles. We talk about faith, wisdom, integrity, compassion, trust, humility, resourceful, teachable, forgiveness, love, strength, and gratitude.
Can I ask if the young people you're talking to have ever experienced any of those things in their own families to that point? Because they come a lot of times from broken homes.
Sure, very much so.
Foster parenting kind of situation.
Absolutely. And yes, they've experienced pieces of it, parts of it, but they never get to talk about it, Jim. Mm-hmm. They're kind of sat down and told how things are supposed to be. And it's amazing when a kid says, I just don't know if I believe what you believe. And it's like, cool. It's a good place to start. The only place you can start from is where you're at. Mm-hmm. So what's important is that your faith is your faith. It becomes yours. You own it. It becomes a part of who you are. And to see people come to Christ in that way, that's a really cool thing. Mm. But we do the classroom settings. But then every other week we do an outdoor adventure. We go hiking, we go rappelling, we go rock climbing. We do a weekend up at Glorieta.
And this is all time spent with people.
Absolutely.
And developing those relationships.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the whole program today.
And the hope for 413 is the same thing it's been for juvenile justice. It's that one-on-one relationship can be built with a staff or volunteer that's going to be ongoing.
By the way, you have some volunteers who've decided we're going to take kids all the way down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon and back up the same day.
Yes.
And there's men and women leading those hikes.
Absolutely.
And talking to the kids the whole time.
Absolutely. It's an amazing, amazing thing. You know, here's the funny part. We're like, oh, I'm okay, okay, I'll go serve kids. I guarantee you there is not a volunteer in our ministry that will not tell you this. They've received far more than they've got, than they've given. Mm-hmm. That we can't outgive God. Now, we usually use that when it comes to tithing, right? Mm-hmm. But you can't outgive God with your time. You can't outgive God with your efforts to serve and teach others. You're going to be taught. You're going to be served as you serve and you teach. That's just a spiritual principle. It just is. But it, no, we've got the most amazing group of volunteers. I love them. I appreciate them. They're, I have no words to describe because we are really a volunteer driven organization. And I don't want that ever to change because that means we're involving people from the local community, from the local churches to be a part of what we do.
You have not sugarcoated that this is not a come to a meeting once in a while and
no,
hang out.
No.
This is a relationship mentoring ministry that's going to, as you just said, give you back more than you put into it. But mm-hmm. your life's going to be used to change another's.
Absolutely. And your life is going to be changed in the process. It's a guarantee. You know, over the years,
you mean men and women?
Men and women. Absolutely. Because we have young men and young women in 413 and now our new program we just launched 3 weeks ago called the 414, LifeQuest 414, the continuing journey for young men and women who've gone through 413. Here's what gets me excited about 414, Jim. Think about this. So we've had 13 kids that have attended. So about 25% of the kids that went through 413 are continuing on in 414. Average age in there is 12 to 15 years old, which means we'll get a walk with these kids, love on these kids, speak into these kids' lives, and point them to Jesus for the next 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 years. And the vision we're casting for them is, look, God doesn't just bless you and change your life so you can be well and wonderful. Catch this vision. In 3 years, there's 5 to 10 of kids in your school who've been through 413, now in 414. Why couldn't you start your own little club in the school? Why couldn't you strive to serve your school and serve the kids in the school? Make your school a better place. Make it a more loving place.
Do you think one of the kids that has been through your program, let's say they're a senior in high school,
mm-hmm.
and they go to a party, as all kids will, and somebody decides they want to take a drug or they want to, what would those kids tell other kids? Because they've already had that experience.
Right, right. I think what they'd say is, look, it's your choice, as always, but let me share my experience with you. Let me share what happened to me. Because it's one thing for me to go, just say no, don't do that, that's bad. Well, they've had that pounded in their head for the last 5, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody who's been there said, let me tell you what I went through, let me tell you what happened to me, or let me tell you how it almost happened to me, but I got rescued out of that. And then no judgment. If they do decide to go ahead and do it, not going to change. I love you anyway. I'm going to keep walking with you. I'm going to be there for you. I don't know. Those are the things that get me excited. What if we can teach? And when I was a Youth for Christ, we saw this happen. That's why I'm so excited about this, is our ministry there, we called the Exodus team, that, kids that were loving other kids, walking with other kids, discipling other kids, sharing the gospel with other kids. And maybe, because I believe this with all my heart, just as you are a missionary to the radio audience throughout the area, that guy sitting in his office right now is called to be a missionary at his office. Mm-hmm. Why are not our young people called to be missionaries in their schools?
They are.
I absolutely agree.
And you said earlier, they are empowered by God supernaturally to do that.
Oh, called. I don't hesitate to use that word. I think they're called to reach out to their friends.
Yes. John, it only takes us 15 minutes every time we get together to talk for an hour.
It sure seems like that.
So we got one more segment left with you. I'm so
really?
Much appreciate
we're done
you
with that
here.
Segment?
We are. It's 1:45. We got to say thank you to our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about just the what's happening in New Mexico with New Mexico youth, how parents might recognize some of the signs.
Before you wrap up, okay. Can I say thank you to your sponsors also?
Because you can't. Now, you got a whole segment left.
Oh, okay.
You got 15 left.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you
I'll
all that
up.
Time
okay.
to do that. We'll be back with John Jones right after these messages.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, I need continuous and filling because I leak. What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infilling of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300 or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
Personal or small group Bible study is a great way to learn God's Word. But what if you want to learn more, go deeper? Calvary College offers classes in biblical studies, classes like Old Testament Survey. Immerse yourself in the entire Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. Take evening classes on campus or anytime classes online. An education from Calvary College will impact your spiritual life for the rest of your life. Apply now at calvarychurchcollege.com.
It doesn't happen every day, and it doesn't happen the same way or at the same time to each of us. But it does happen when we encounter excellence in our journey through life. It might be in a book, a performance, a person we meet, or the satisfaction we feel when we know we've done our best work. For me, those encounters with excellence are echoes of Eden. That time and place when God displayed His excellence through His creation. Sadly, excellence has been diluted and tarnished by sin, but we can still strive to honor God by doing what we do with all of our hearts. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's excellence on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
John Jones with LifeQuest USA in studio with me. John, what percentage of young people that you're working with either have an addiction problem themselves or their parents are dealing with that?
In the juvenile facilities, I would say 99%.
Wow.
I'm very comfortable making that statement. In the community, 50%. If it's not the young person we're working with, it is a parent or a former parent. As I think I shared with you that in our last class, 5 of the 12 kids in the class were adopted. Came out of foster care, were adopted. The class before that, 11 of 12 kids, came from single-parent homes. So it really came out during our lesson on forgiveness and talking about how, as a believer, forgiveness is not an option for us. Mm. But the reason God... Because He knows us, we aren't created to carry bitterness and anger and resentment around inside of us. We are warned against it so many times biblically. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let no root of bitterness take place within you. Anyone who says they love God but hates man's a liar. Because it makes us sick inside. It eats us alive. It's like a spiritual cancer. And, but when these, you tell these kids and you're talking to them about what forgiveness looks like, and they bring up, but my mom was a drug addict and she never came back to get me like she promised. And that's deep, deep hurt. And only God can heal that. But to explain to them, look, but when God says for you to forgive, it's because it's what's best for you. Is it ever going to change your mom? I don't know. But it'll change you. You're not created to carry that around inside of you. You're not created to carry that pain and hurt. And God will heal that inside of you. And it's funny, you've already mentioned the verse where God tells us what to do. But I tell you to pray for those who persecute you. Craziest thing. It was part of the thing I had to learn, Jim, and I was taught this. I actually had a list of people I hated. Had to make a list. Mm-hmm. And I had to start at the top of the list and pray for that person every day. Just pray for God to bless them. Just pray. And, you know, said, hey, I firmly believe in honest prayer, and my words weren't very eloquent and sometimes not even very nice. But here's what I found in my own life personally, and I know is true. You cannot bring someone before the throne of grace every day without God changing your heart. Probably not going to change them, but he's going to change you. And that's, you want to know freedom? The day I realized that this person who had been the most difficult, hardest, my deepest, deepest anger and bitterness towards, the day I realized that was gone, that's freedom, brother. That's freedom. And that is, I've only been told, this is scripture says this, for the mercy you give will be the mercy you receive, right? Boy, first time I read that, and I said, boy, I better be pretty merciful because I need a lot of mercy. But again, God tells me to forgive because it's what's best for me. But I need the power of God to do that. I can't do that on my own.
So you need a bunch of perfect people to volunteer to help you with LifeQuest USA?
No, we love broken people at LifeQuest. And there is not a Christian, there is no one listening to this program that is not qualified to serve with us. Guaranteed. We, you know, maybe your gift is not preaching the gospel. Maybe your gift is not whatever. We got a place we can use you. Administration. Maybe you would like to help around the office. Events. Maybe you got a gift for something over here. We'll find, if you want to volunteer, we'll find a place for you. I promise you. We won't cheat you out of that opportunity.
You've said about maybe men and women that are CEOs of a company. Maybe they've never done any, what I would call, street ministry. They've never gone into a prison. They've never taught a Bible study. But they live generously and help you. They're really on the front lines with you.
Oh, absolutely. I firmly believe this, and I will tell everyone this. When I'm sitting across from a young man or one of our volunteers or Cleo, our female program manager, is sitting with one of the girls, sharing the gospel, loving on them, when that young person makes a decision to accept what happened on the cross and to begin their journey of following Jesus, that is a jewel in the crown of the dollar donor and the $10,000 donor. It's as if spiritually they're sitting right there with us doing that work because they're responsible for it. And I think you can back that up biblically. Absolutely. So some people's gift is giving. That's a reality. That's what they're called to do. That's what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And what they do is no less important than my volunteers who are leading Bible studies or my volunteers that are mentoring, or certainly not any less important than me. So I can't stress that enough that, again, it's just like not volunteering, not giving, not volunteering. And I learned this in my own personal life. I'm just cheating myself. That's all I'm doing is cheating myself. And, but here's the crazy part. It's like everything else. You don't know until you do it. You don't know until you give, until you volunteer, until you give of your time. Just the blessing that comes from that.
You said that you had a volunteer that was listening to this show. I know I had a woman call. I think
might have been her
one or two times ago, maybe 3 months ago when you were on the show. She called right after and says, "Who do I call to volunteer? It sounds like a really great thing." And I sent her number to you, and
she is now working with the 413 Journey, volunteering with the kids. What's funny is she said, "I'm not an upfront person. I'm really not a teacher. I'm in the background." She was up front teaching a lesson. She hikes the Grand Canyon with us now. She's just the coolest, awesome lady you'd ever want to meet. What a blessing to me personally, to our ministry. And if you're listening, you know who you are. Thank you. We love you.
And we're not really trying. We are absolutely not manipulating. We are not talking people into anything. We want to give you the information and let you come to the realization that you are valuable, and what you have to offer to other people in the power of the Lord is really, really valuable to the kingdom.
I want people volunteering with us not because they're quote-unquote supposed to. It's their good duty. I want somebody whose heart's been touched, whose heart's been tugged on, who God's like, "Come on, got a place for you here." Because our ministry's not for everybody. I'm okay with that. I get that. But if you're listeners, if your heart's been touched, pick up the phone and call. We'll go have a cup of coffee, sit and chat. I'm a really kind of straightforward, honest guy, and people seem to kind of like me. I love having coffee with people. But, yeah, let's sit down and talk. And
should I give out the phone number?
Absolutely.
To the ministry, 505-341-9383. And the website is lifequestusa.org.
I think it's this simple, Jim. And this is kind of, as I get older, this is kind of what it comes down to. I should be filtering everything through these three things. Love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love my neighbors, myself, and go forth and make disciples. If those three things, if what I'm doing is not pointing to one of those three things, I probably should find something else to do. Because I do think we overly complicate this sometimes. God loves me so I can love you. And by my loving of you, my hope is you'll come to have that love relationship with God, that you will respond to his love by loving him back. Mm. That's the beauty of this thing.
John, are life changes that you see in kids? And I know you've already talked about your volunteers have life change as well. But is there enough? Do you see God's power changing lives? And is that encouraging to you to continue in ministry?
Absolutely. You have those moments. Got a call the very first night we did 414. Not a call. Got a text like 10 o'clock at night, because that's when kids do things. But got a text at 10 o'clock at night that just said, "Hey, John, just wanted to let you know if it wasn't for you and for LifeQuest and 413 Journey, I'd be on a really bad path right now." The very fact that they took the time to send that text, I mean, how cool is that?
That is cool.
Young lady who texts me and sends a snapshot of her devotional that morning, something we'd been talking about, and was like, "Look." And I'm like, it is so cool when God does something directly for you that you didn't even know he wrote for you maybe 5 years ago, but for today, just for now, for you specifically. So cool. So cool. Yes, we get to see some fruit.
John, I'm always excited to talk to you. I'm sorry the time flies by so quickly, but you're going to be back with us on the 7th, and you're going to bring a young lady that's been involved with the 413.
Absolutely. Journey. Absolutely.
Sounds fun.
Trust me, your listeners will like her a lot more than they like me. She's awesome.
John, bless you, man. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jim.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.